We're talking about school choice, and so it's preferable that we bring in someone who actually knows a little bit more about the ins and outs of that system. And then we have Atlanta Journal-Constitution Education Editor Christopher Quinn with us. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Fliss. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Did we get everything basically right?
Well, I'm going to have to contend with you on a couple of things. One is that the more controversial issue right now is charter schools. Charters have been part of the Georgia landscape for more than a decade now. And like the lead-in you gave said, you know, they are doing no more better, no more worse than most of our public schools. And they are part of the public school system. It's tax dollars that support those. But what really is controversial and more controversial are the vouchers that you talked about. That's where you take public tax dollars that were set aside for your kid to educate your kid in public school systems, and you can send those dollars to a private school. That could be a parochial school, that could be the Baptist school down the church or down the road, or it can be like a big private school that does really good, like Padilla or Walker School here in Atlanta.
Although the reason we talk about the controversy surrounding charter schools is because there have been a number of headline-making scandals. There was a series of scandals in Ohio, for example. There was a scandal here where a charter school director was accused of embezzling money. There was a $249 million grant to charter schools announced the day that Arne Duncan resigned. That became a pretty big, ugly scandal as well. While charter schools, their results may be no better or no worse than public schools, they seem to have a fair share of ugly headlines.
Yeah, and I think that comes from some of the freedoms we give them. We gave charter schools more freedom and less oversight, or supposedly less oversight, from a public official such as your local school board or even a state official in order to try to get them to get better results. We give them these freedoms so that they can experiment and try things to try to get better results. That's the heart of the charter system. But with that freedom, obviously, comes some problems. So here in Atlanta, you mentioned the one where the former director of the charter school had filched money from the school. That guy's facing those charges now. Had he had better oversight from his school board, and each charter school has a school board within the school, so it's not part of the local school board that's overseeing the charter school. It's the members, families, and friends of that charter school form their own little school board. And that case obviously didn't have the oversight necessary, the financial oversight, to catch that early on and stop it before hundreds of thousands of dollars went missing. So, yes, that happens because, I think, of the freedoms that we give charter schools to experiment and try things. And sometimes what we haven't done as well is provide proper oversight to keep those types of things from happening.
I should also point out, Christopher, that while I was talking about the statistics that show charter schools are end up getting results no better or no worse than public schools. We got a tweet from our own Grant Blankenship, who points out that charter schools in the state of Georgia are among the lowest performing schools in the state. So even results among charter schools vary pretty widely.
They do. And you have to keep in mind there are two types of charter schools. There are startup charter schools, which is what we typically think of as charters. That's where a group of families and parents, along with some sort of implementer, like a for-profit or a nonprofit school system, come in and they create a whole new school in your system. And that's a public school, though. You can apply to have your kid go there. And then there are charter systems like Decatur City Schools, which have declared themselves, with the state's approval, charter schools. And they get certain freedoms as well to operate as a system with more freedom from state regulation. But it's the pop-up charter schools where you see the results are down a couple of points on one of our main measures of how our students are doing, and that's the College and Career Readiness Performance Index. We see that the standalone charter schools that are not part of the charter systems score right now a couple of points down. I think it's about just 77, and then charters, the standalone charter schools are down about 75 or so in their score. So, yeah. And there are a lot of good reasons and arguments about why that's the case that aren't clearly enough understood, because some charter schools do great and some charter schools do really poorly. But overall, you see them down a couple of points lower than the state average, and we really need some good research to sort of figure out why that is the case so that we can find those charter schools that really work well and recreate those systems and leave the ones that are failing behind.
I'm talking about school choice with Atlanta Journal-Constitution education editor Christopher Quinn. And one of the reasons we're talking about the Christopher is because the new Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, is a real supporter of school choice. Which kind of school choice does she support?
Well, she supports both charters and vouchers. Again, vouchers is where your public tax dollars can be sent to a private school. And that's where she really made her chops, is not as a school administrator or a teacher, but as a political proponent of charter schools and voucher schools. And she really has supported a lot of candidates over the last few years. Of course, she comes from wealth on both sides. Her husband's family and she are both very wealthy, and she has given $5 million, excuse me, in the last 5 years to political candidates that were really sort of high on the issues of charters and vouchers. And you see what's happened in Michigan, where she really had a voice, which is where she's from. And it has some of the, I think, Detroit, where she's really had a hand in helping.
Those results were not good, though.
No. You see really, really poor results in Detroit and also in Michigan, which has so many charter operators that there are 25 or more groups and agencies who can qualify charter schools and say, yes, you can start a charter school. Here in Georgia, there are two. That's your local school system and the state chartering authority. And so with fewer people having oversight of who can start a charter and who can't, I think we have better quality charter schools, obviously, than they had in Michigan, which have had really poor results.
But how much control does the Secretary of Education have over what school my kid goes to and how that school is administered?
The State Secretary of Education doesn't have a lot of authority over where you send your kid. If you live, it's state laws lay out, you know, if you live in a school district, that's where you have to send your kid, unless you send them to a private school or a charter school. And we hear occasionally of those cases where kids want to play football at a better school, has a better football team, so they'll cross district lines. And, of course, when that's found out, those parents can be fined pretty heftily for sending their kids outside of the school system. So it's not really the State Secretary of Education that has control of that. That's pretty much set up through Georgia law and regulation.
What are the other parts of school choice? Because school choice means something different to everyone else. And we've talked about charter schools, which mm-hmm. is often referred to. We've talked about vouchers. But there mm-hmm. are other portions of school choice that are also included in that title, like homeschooling is part yep. of school choice, is it not?
It is. So you can homeschool. And there are also virtual academies here in Georgia where your child, your student, goes online to attend classes virtually and does the homework online. Virtually, and there are quite a few thousand students doing that. The beauty of that is that if you're in Coffee County, your kid can, you know, attend one of the Georgia Virtual Academies that may be based out of Gwinnett County or out of here in Atlanta. So it's truly open to kids everywhere, which is not true for charter schools. If you look at where charter schools are located, they're clustered in metro areas and mostly in North Georgia. A lot of rural counties and other counties sort of out of the way. They don't have access to the actual charter school, but they do have access to a virtual charter school. But again, results there have been generally poorer than in public schools. So there's the virtual academies, there's charter schools, there are private schools, there's homeschooling, and then there is the voucher-like system that Georgia has set up now. It's called the Student Scholarship Organizations that are supported by tax credits given to people or businesses who send their money to one of these scholarshiping organizations, which is a nonprofit. The scholarship organization sends it to the school that you designate, and then that school gives out scholarships to public kids, and they can be private schools. So you can have, you know, again, say a Padilla Academy accepting students under these scholarship organizations. There's some good stuff and bad stuff about that. The critics don't like it in that it's really a system set up where we really don't know how those public dollars are being spent or what the results are for the students, because private schools don't have to report student results like public schools do.
Yeah, it's impossible to track. We have a tweet from a listener, Adam Dean, who says, aren't vouchers basically an upward redistribution of wealth? Is that fair?
Well, it's hard to say here in Georgia, and there's this to think about. So most really high-quality private schools cost a lot of money. I was looking last night just to sort of check my facts on this, and You know, you can pay $25,000 a year to send your kid to a private school here in Atlanta. That's, you know, 10th grade, 11th grade. And say you get one of these state vouchers, one of these scholarships, that may be worth $6,000 or $8,000. Well, if you're a working class guy making $45,000 a year, that $6,000 is not going to help you pay that $25,000 bill. You're probably not going to be able to do that. So I think that there is an advantage for people who are already sending their kids and can afford to send their kids to expensive private schools, and that they can all of a sudden get this tax break that they weren't getting before for doing that. So that is the critic's argument, is that that's true, that it really helps the wealthy, and the poor and working class people won't be able to take advantage of these scholarships like the upper classes will.
Yeah, that tuition is twice what it costs to send my son to Georgia State. Anyhow, that's Atlanta Journal-Constitution education editor Christopher Quinn. Christopher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.
That's our show for today, but we would love to hear from you. I imagine that many of you have opinions and comments about school choice, charter schools, vouchers. Call us and let us know what you're thinking at 404-500-9457. You can also find us on Facebook or on Twitter. The show is at OST Talk, and I'm at Celeste Headley. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. Have a great day.